much about.
You're about to begin a physically grueling, mentally draining, life-changing adventure.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And I was like, baby, 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 oh. Like baby, 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 no. Like baby, 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 oh. I thought you'd always be mine.
I am urging the parents of black and Latino youngsters particularly to not let their children go out wearing hoodies.
Whites only, is that it? You're a prick.
And now.
Taking me, podcast listener. It's like Monday and you just tweeted out, Amberline is getting lonely. So I'm calling to see if you fired the beer mug yet.
Our feature presentation.
I don't think we have.
He's right there.
Be honest, actually. He's still here.
Man, yeah. Really?
We may have fired him, but he's still here.
He just comes back.
I don't know.
Just keep showing up.
What are we supposed to do now?
It's like trying to get a coyote out of your yard or something. You can shoo away all you want, but he's still going to come back if there's food. What's going on, I guess?
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning.
This is an odd story, by the way, especially in light of the guest that we were just listening to, Mike Kootz from Shark Week, who lost a leg to a shark a few years ago. I have not seen foot massage places. There are such a thing, I guess. I'm looking
They're
at
all
the
over here.
Picture of one in Sunland, California, where you go in and that's all they do is they just massage your foot. It's not a mani-pedi situation. It's just massage?
It is just massage, although it is a misnomer. They don't just massage your feet, but that is a big
I'm
big
upset
part
about
of it.
A guy saying mani-pedi.
Oh, that's what they're called. Why would they put foot massage out front then, Lisa, if they actually massage other parts of your body too?
Because it focuses on that. You soak your feet for a long time, and they really work on your feet a lot.
And then they work their way up your leg.
And then they work their way up your leg, yeah.
Well, this place in Sunland is in the news because Melissa Alvarado was turned away. They refused service. They pointed to the sign, you know, the part where they can basically refuse service to anyone that they choose to, and they decided not to work on her because she only has one leg.
What?
Now, wouldn't you think that would be nothing but easy money? You have to massage someone's feet. You think they come in with one. You think that's the customer everyone would want, right? That's best case scenario, I think. She is a mother of three, manager at a grocery store bakery. She lost her left leg this past May after a fall and somehow got cut and then infected. 43 years old, using a walker to get around now, so she and her daughter went out for a foot massage to a place that they had been to several times before, by the way, and she got turned away.
Maybe they were afraid they had to do something on the leg that didn't have a foot, and that grossed them out.
Rub the stump?
Yeah.
Well, they do the whole body eventually, so they probably would have to at least do the upper portion of that leg. Ooh. Maybe they got...
Freaked out?
Yeah, freaked out.
Refusing service to me was humiliating. They have a sign that says that, but it doesn't mean they can discriminate against people. But I don't know whether it does mean that or not. I mean, do they would that hold up? Would they have the right to turn you away just because you have a leg missing?
I don't think so. I mean, that's no shoes, no shirt kind of law, right?
No foot.
No, they don't have that there. I don't think they can.
Well, I saw some video of this woman, and she has the stump is all wrapped in bandages and whatnot, so it's not even like they could get to it.
My stump, my stump, my stump, my lovely little stump, amputee.
Anyway, I don't know whether what's going to happen next. There's nothing in this article that suggests it's a lawsuit or anything like that, but she did want to come forward and did want to spread the word that disabled people want massages too.
If it's in bandages, does that mean it's still healing in some way?
I don't know.
That would be an issue.
I mean, yep. But
then you just avoid it, I imagine.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, but I could see where they might have a case in that.
It would skeeve me out.
I'd walk out and go, I'm not doing it, you do it. I'm not doing it, you do it.
There are a lot of people I wouldn't want to touch either, but that's the case if you got a super smelly guy coming in for a haircut. I mean, it's the same thing. That's customer service, is you're not going to adore every person who walks through the front door. But
smelly haircut, same thing. I'm not doing it. You do it. Give it to the Armenian comedian. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, don't be so dramatic.
We are going to talk to David Gintoli, who is Grimm.
Oh, Grimm.
Which I believe comes back tonight, now that they're not doing
the Olympics.
That's finally over.
Yeah. We're the closing games.
It was 17 days, and it seemed like 4 months, didn't it?
There's never been a time that the London Olympics were not on.
That's right.
I'm not sure how the closing ceremonies were, Lisa, because it was I was on an acid trip last night.
All right. How does that work?
I was just seeing imaginary things that couldn't be real. I was seeing Fatboy Slim climbing out of an octopus. I was seeing a guy from Monty Python dancing with a bunch of nuns in roller skates. So I don't know anymore what was real and what wasn't real.
Wow.
If that happened, I love it. I love it. Did Muse play?
Interesting thing about that.
Okay.
NBC cut him out of the broadcast.
What?
Why?
NBC cut him out of the broadcast. The only thing that interested me in that closing ceremony.
As far as I know, unless they appeared somewhere and I missed it, but I didn't see it. And there's a lot of chatter online this morning from people saying the same thing.
Wow.
We have to find out what happened.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
We have highlights of Honey Boo Boo. Which is what we can't wait for.
This so excited.
It's one of those little beauty queens that's like six. And, it's her mom that's really doing it. And but she seems like she's already on a pole at six.
I feel sad.
Oh, you don't want that. Stunts Gone Awry, we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Everybody, when you're growing up, you think that you are the Nitro Circus crew. You think that that's who you are. And so you try a lot of stuff. And sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't go so well.
My friends and I, and you're not going to believe that I actually have a childhood story because I don't remember anything
ever. Or friends.
Or friends, yeah.
But I only know this story because it's been repeated back to me over the years. My friends and I were seeing how far we could jump off of a swing. You swing back and forth, swing back and forth, and you get as high as you possibly can, and you let go, and you see who can go for distance.
Sure.
And that's how I ended up breaking my arm in three places.
You can't even jump out of a swing.
No, I did jump out of a swing. I did a great job jumping out of a swing.
Can't land.
And went so far, I landed into a fence and broke my arm in multiple places.
Wish I would have seen that.
But that's exactly the type of Nitro Circus stunt that we're going to be talking about today. Is it seemed like a fun idea at the time. Like, what could go wrong with this, my friends? And then the next thing you know, someone's hurt.
We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Figure out what's going on with all the celebs.
Okay.
We have Tyler Posey in the studio, Teen Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that dude's so hairy.
And
it's like a monkey.
And Ralph finally saw Dark Knight Rising. Or Dark Knight, what's it, Rises? Is that the name of it? And did not like it.
That's shocking.
He's not much of a Batman fan.
And
that's the thing we know about Ralph.
He's a huge Batman fan, is what we know about Ralph. Well, that's weird, right?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that today as well. We will take a quick break and come back with a Showbiz Beat. That's Nick.
Ralph Garman steps in here on the Kevin and Bean Show for the first Showbiz Beat for a new week. How you doing, Ralph? What's going on?
I'm doing well. It's a Monday morning. That means we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office and see what people went to see over the weekend. Looks like a lot of them went to see The Bourne Legacy. $40.3 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
Wow. A lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Right behind it. Not right behind it, but behind it. New Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis comedy, The Campaign, at its debut, made $27.4 million. The Dark Knight Rises came in at number three with a hair under $20 million. Then Hope Springs and Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days, making your top five. Total Recall, Ice Age 4, Ted, Step Up Revolution, The Watch, tied with The Amazing Spider-Man for 10th with $2.2 million.
I can't believe the staying power of your Ted movie.
Ted! Wow.
It's not going away.
Ted.
What do you say?
Ted. Ted. Ted 2.
Ted 1's still going to be in the theater.
Saying Ted 2.
When you get Ted 2.
Congratulations to Jennifer Aniston. People Magazine is claiming that her boyfriend Justin Theroux gave her an amazing birthday party last Friday, including the extraordinary gift of his marriage proposal. So it looks like Jennifer is taking another stab at wedded bliss. Pop the champagne. Everyone, get your Rachel haircuts and get ready for the big event.
Think that's what people are going to do, is get their Rachel haircuts?
Nope. I don't think she's going to get married either. Justin Theroux is going to be like, what was I thinking?
Did I say marry?
Sad news. Carlo Rambaldi, the legendary special effects artist who made E.T. and the alien monster and the giant monkey in 1976 King Kong film, has passed away at the age of 86. A triple Oscar winner, probably still best known for his work with E.T. at the time, and still some consider it the greatest character puppet ever created for a film.
Puppet? How dare you, man? That was a real alien.
It wasn't really. It was just a puppet. Oh. Over 150 separate movements that puppet could make. Could wrinkle his nose, stretch his neck, his eyes would move, his mouth would move. It was a remarkable piece of engineering. And Carlo Rambaldi became the favorite of a lot of movie and sci-fi fans because of it. In fact, a little trivia question you may remember, in the TV series, J.J. Abrams' TV series, Alias, they were always looking for the Rambaldi devices. Remember they'd go around collecting the Rambaldi devices? Uh-huh. Those devices were named after Carlo Rambaldi J.J. as a tribute to the man who created E.T.
Now, if that if E.T. were made today, there would be no puppet. It would all be CGI. Computer-generated, right?
Yeah. And Rambaldi, before he passed away, was interviewed and said he felt that took the magic out of movies. It took the mystery out of it because people know when they're watching a computer-animated film. They know exactly how that's done. But if you do something with practical effects, there's still some mystery involved, and you can kind of fool the audience like a magician fools his audience.
I feel sad.
Don't be sad. Although you can't be sad because Mel Stewart, the director, also passed away since we talked last.
Wow.
He directed Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is probably his most famous film. Passed away at the age of 83 years old. It's still one of my favorite films. Great movie.
They had a little mention of Willy Wonka in the closing ceremonies last night. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw Russell Brand on top of a bus.
Yep.
Singing Pure Imagination.
Well, I'll tell you, for someone who hasn't seen the closing ceremonies, it sounds like an acid trip.
It was.
It's bizarre.
I only saw a chunk of it. I saw from that part. That's where I kind of picked it up from Russell Brand, who can't sing, by the way, singing a lot. And then I just stayed through the Spice Girls, and then I turned it off.
How'd your Spice Girls look?
Oh, come on. They were so good, right? They were so good last night. They looked great. They sounded great.
They're going to kick off a big tour now?
I don't think so. No. But they sounded great, as opposed to Beady Eye.
Yeah, Liam has not aged well, either in looks or voice, has he?
Kevin, they brought out Liam Gallagher to sing Wonderwall.
Which great song. You can see that. Just,
yeah, right. They should have lip-synced it.
Or had Noel do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not good. Linda Lohan! It's backed up to her old tricks again. Hot off the good news that she had a sleepover party with Lady Gaga at the Chateau Marmont and came out the next morning with a role in Lady Gaga's new video. Wonder how she got that.
People can't imagine.
So that's the good news. The bad news is she was clubbing last week, as she is wont to do. Went into one of her regular spots Tuesday night and found out that the celebrity VIP section was already taken. She was very upset.
She couldn't get in.
Francesca Eastwood, daughter of Clint Eastwood, has got that reality show, apparently was celebrating her birthday in that spot. And Lindsay, according to witnesses and Francesca herself, just went apes.
Really?
On her screaming that Francesca Eastwood is a nobody, but I'm a star. Get her out of here. She kept yelling to the staff at Bootsy Bellows, the nightclub.
That's crazy that she still has that sense of entitlement.
Security had to ask her to leave, and apparently she was belligerent, had a lot of attitude. And then one of her posse that she was traveling with topped off the evening by almost running over one of the parking valets in their cars. They screamed off in belligerence.
All right.
So, overall, it was a good night.
Look, I don't know anything about Francesca Eastwood, but at least she has a TV show. What was the last thing Lindsay did or was on besides a mugshot that we saw?
Machete?
Yeah, maybe Machete.
But I am never going to drink again, ever.
Liz and Dick coming out.
Yeah. Right? But her dad is Clint Eastwood, so she wins.
Yeah, that's true. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor and radio host Danny Bonaducci is 53 years old today.
I wonder how he's doing today. I wonder how he's celebrating his birthday.
Bonaducci's celebrating his birthday.
Where is he these days? Is he in Philly? I think he's back in Philly doing radio.
Don't know.
He's doing mornings at KZOK Seattle.
What?
Seattle?
Yep.
When did that happen?
His station in Philadelphia switched formats, I think, and they still had him under a big contract, and they talked him into moving to Seattle to do mornings here. So,
hey, Bean, you and I should do a show together. What do you say?
I don't think I can listen to that voice for 5 minutes.
Danny and Bean in the mornings, that'd be the greatest thing ever.
Bean would be so miserable.
Last about 45 seconds.
But we can share all of our fitness tips, all of our workout stuff.
John Slattery. How good is John Slattery on the Mad Men show? Just a brilliant.
Kevin knows.
Brilliant
Ask Kevin.
The best.
You don't know, man.
Crazy good.
He's 50 years old today, and actress Debbie Mazar celebrates her 48th
John
birthday.
John Slattery looks terrible for 50. Yeah. Are you kidding me? He's only 50?
He looks well into his 50s. Well, he's got that that prematurely white gray hair, which just makes him look older. He should dye it.
Wow.
Should pick up a bottle of something. And Debbie Mazar is 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.
Sure was hot. Know that.
Yeah.
Hot enough for you? Sure was hot. Staying cool? Sure was hot.
How hot did it get at your house over the weekend, Kevin?
113.
Seriously?
Yeah.
113?
Yeah. My house is 10 degrees warmer than anywhere else.
Oh, my God.
You might as well just live in Las Vegas.
But remember, I grew up in Phoenix, so it's not the end of the world. That's a normal summer day.
It is when power goes out, which happened in my building.
That's rough.
Happened a lot of places. By the way, Kevin, don't you tell us that you live in the Valley of the Old People? Isn't it like everyone is 80 or above? They should be dropping like flies.
I wish.
You should be so happy right now. The coroner should be out at your neighborhood every day at this point.
It's 90% people over 90. So you would think that people
How are they surviving it?
They're staying cool, Bean, because of all the tips on the news.
Oh, tell me about
that.
Heat Watch!
Heat Watch! We need more on that, don't we? A little bit more.
Yeah.
Heat Watch!
Heat Watch! This is some of the Channel 2 news as they were doing Heat Watch. They want to make sure that you understand it's hot, A. And B, what should you do when it's hot?
Try not to work too hard.
Juanita Marquez keeps her windows open and cools off with cold snacks.
I have all these popsicles so I can stay cool because it gets really hot.
It does, yeah. Isn't that great? Isn't that a good tip?
Why do they put these people on the news?
We just heard a woman saying that she eats cool pops. What the hell's going on?
Who doesn't know that you stay cool and don't overdo it and drink water and eat cold things? Who doesn't know that?
A lot of people don't know that.
Who?
Just a lot of people that aren't aware of what you're supposed to do when it's 100 degrees.
Heat Watch!
I don't know.
Transplants from Alaska.
Dr. Stephen Jones with Northridge Hospital Medical Center says people exposed to excessive temperatures this week could be at risk for heat distress.
All right, now I want you to understand what the doctor says heat distress is and how to tell whether you're under heat distress.
Some of the things to look for start with excessive thirst.
Thirst.
Fatigue.
Fatigue.
Just the feeling that you're not, you're weak, you're just not doing very well.
You're not doing very well is what you should look for.
Okay, well, that could be any day.
You're
but
thirsty,
all right.
Fatigue, and just the general feeling that you're not doing very well.
Okay.
These residents say they're not worried about heat illness, but they do hope these temperatures take a dip.
Maybe cooler, a little bit cooler.
Yeah, that's an important interview.
And we've seen a lot of families out walking tonight, getting out of their hot homes. Meantime, doctors say because this heat wave is expected to linger, it's especially important to stay hydrated, limit outdoor activities during the day, and find air conditioning whenever you can.
Good idea.
Reporting live in Boyle Heights, Amanda Burden, CBS 2 News.
That is a great newscast right there that'll tell you that you need to try and find air conditioning wherever you can.
I know everything I need to know now to survive.
I bet there are a lot of people who are sitting there going, wait a minute, do we have air conditioning? This would be a good time to turn it on.
I hadn't
thought about that. It's 150 out.
I was wondering when we were supposed to use that.
Heat Watch!
So we just put that in the weather and leave that out of the news.
I don't know. It just seems like they don't need to do a story where some...
Close this thing on.
What's happening? What's this?
It's Doug Kriegel, Kevin and Bean.
Doug?
We didn't have you scheduled. We weren't supposed to talk to you this morning.
You said you were going to go right back to me after our last Heat Watch update.
That was like last Thursday.
I know. I've been standing out here waiting for you to come back ever since.
No. Oh, Doug. I'm sorry. No. We went away for the weekend.
Oh, God, sorry. It's so hot. It's so hot out here.
You could have been in the air conditioning.
Help me. Help me. I think I have heat distress.
Oh. You have heat distress? Well let's go through the checklist.
I'm thirsty.
Thirsty, yes, that's one.
I'm fatigued.
Fatigue is two.
And I'm just not doing well.
Not doing well at all.
You have heat distress, sir.
I've been out here waiting for you guys to come back to me. I didn't know when it was going to be, so I didn't.
I feel so bad.
You didn't even find a hotel overnight? You literally just stood out there by the TV van?
I'm just standing out here by the generator.
Oh.
Oh, God. so hot.
So on Saturday, you waited all day, and then Sunday all day.
And by Sunday evening, I started drinking my own urine.
Oh, no.
I had to eat pigeons. Oh. I think it was a pigeon. It might have been some lady's cat. I don't know.
Why would you eat pigeons?
He didn't want to leave his post. He had to find some food.
Dehydrated. At least some old lady left her windows open, but she's got popsicles.
This is terrible.
Did you steal some popsicles?
I broke it. I ate some popsicles.
But you have a hell of a tan by now, I would imagine, right?
Wow, the blisters. Oh, there's so many blisters.
Oh man.
Oh, dog, I'm so sorry.
Do we need to send a team, EMTs or something out there for you?
That'd be nice.
All right, listen.
Send a team of EMTs.
We'll get some people to you, but you need to just hang on because we're coming back to you in a few minutes.
It's really hot out here, guys.
David Gentoli is the star of NBC's Grimm, now on Monday nights, starting tonight at 10. We'll talk to David coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as well. Well, it's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel like crap. Honey Boo Boo has a spinoff. Now, she is the breakout star of that Toddlers and Tiaras show about the little girls that go on the pageant circuit. That's on TLC. Now she's got her own show, her and her crazy redneck family.
They're like 6, 7 years old, and their moms dress them up super sexy, and they put makeup all over them. They make them strut out on the stage, and they fill them full of sugar, and it's just...
It's creepy.
Awful.
Now it is, and you hope every one of them ends up just like JonBenet Ramsey when you see this show. You really do. Now there's
the parents,
one thing I need to warn you about with Honey Boo Boo, and that is her entire family is retarded. And you're gonna have a lot of trouble understanding even the words that are coming out of their mouths. This whole show, they're Georgian for starters, okay? This whole show is subtitled.
What?
They speak English, but the whole show is subtitled. Here's Honey Boo Boo Child, age 6, introducing her crazy family. Try to stick with it, and then I'll translate for you after she names her sisters, okay?
This is my crazy family. I have 3 sisters.
All right, now, at this point, don't you think you've heard 1 second of her, you're thinking, this little girl needs to go to speech therapy, right?
Somebody would yell, cut, can you try and speak a little clearer?
She's 6. We should be able to understand what she says.
Talking is the craziest. Anna's the pregnantest. And Jessica's my favorite, like my BFF. Boston's family is Mama.
Okay, you get any of that?
I got a few words.
All right, here are Honey Boo Boo Child sisters. And, of course, they're a redneck family in Georgia, so they got lots of kids. Lauren is 12. She goes by Pumpkin. Jessica is 15. They call her Chubbs.
Nice. Anna Every 15-year-old girl wants to be called Chubbs.
Yeah, that's going to wreck her for life.
Anna is 17. She's a chickadee, and she is in her third trimester of pregnancy, by the way.
Oh, dear God.
Because they got to have more kids. And here's, of course, her parents.
My name is Mike. My nickname is Sugar Bear.
Sugar Bear, my baby daddy. We got too much estrogen in the house. Need some testosterone.
All right, so it's poor dad, Sugar Bear, who just looks like a beaten man. How could he not? Living with his big fat wife and his 4 ridiculous daughters. All right, so let's talk about the big week that's coming up on the season premiere of the Honey Boo Boo Child Show. They're talking about all the things they got going on.
This next week's got some big activities going on. We've got a pageant coming up this weekend, and we're going to the Redneck Games, which is the annual event here in South Georgia.
By the way, part of my problem with this show is this program is going to reinforce the stereotype of Southerners as just being stupid, fat, ugly, uncouth, unsophisticated rednecks.
No one has ever sounded more like they're on meth than this woman.
We got a lot of stuff to do this weekend.
And, of course, they're sending them to the redneck games. Of course, they do that. We'll hear more about that in a minute.
Well, 5 girls and 1 bathroom, we've learned to get creative.
By get creative, she means
they
all wash their hair in the kitchen sink, okay?
Yeah. Our hair has always been washed in the kitchen sink. It's just something that we've always done. It's not like dirtiness or nothing. When you take a bath, you're sitting in your own filth, pretty much. So you don't want your hair to be nasty.
You don't want your hair to be nasty, right?
She's got a point.
She weighs 309 pounds, this lady, by the way.
Wow.
And the whole time that they're doing these interviews at home in Honey Boo Boo Child's house, they're all sitting around eating cheese balls. I mean, just nonstop are eating cheese balls. It looks like this looks like a Christopher Guest movie. Like they made these people up.
Yeah, if you were to write a show to make fun of rednecks, this is what you would do.
Mm. Well, Mama looks good now that she's washed her hair in the sink and picked all the lice out, and I'm not joking.
Oh. As a mom, I try to teach my girls good habits. You gotta take pride in how you look. And granted, I ain't the most beautiful out of the box. But put a little paint on this barn, shine it back on it to its original condition, because it shines up and look like it's brand new.
What? You following all this? No. She's not the most beautimous out of the box, but you put a little shine on the barn, it looks like it's brand new. So she's got those salty southern expressions that she can sprinkle in. We're like 10 minutes into this show, and I just want to take my own life and cancel my TV subscription. All right. So let's talk about the redneck
game. Before we go on, Bean, this is so good. I think you're going to have to be our correspondent.
No, we're never revisiting this show again.
Bean, you got to bring us some highlights.
This is a one-time deal. What goes on at those redneck games besides, and I'm not joking about this, black people strutting around waving Confederate flags?
What?
Are they missing the point of what the Confederacy stood for? Are our memories so short that black people... I saw a black guy on this show with a Confederate flag tattoo, Kevin, on his chest on TV. Let's find out what's going on.
Yes, we are rednecks.
No, we're not rednecks.
Yes, we are.
We all have our teeth, don't we?
We ride four-wheelers and play in the mud.
That's right. We're not rednecks.
By the way, Honey Boo Boo Child family, you are not allowed to make fun of rednecks, okay?
No kidding.
You're not around to poke fun of other people driving pickup trucks who have teeth missing, because you're you.
The Redneck Game is an annual event here in Georgia. It's all about Southern pride, similar to the Olympics, but with a lot of missing teeth and a lot of butt cracks showing. And the girls will be competing in some of the events here today.
Wait till you hear about some of these events, by the way.
Oh, my God. Look at it, look at it.
There's some broke down people out there. Please, women that are of voluptuous size, put some clothes on. All that bajiggle jaggle is not beautimous.
Okay, the bajiggle jaggle is not beautimous.
I couldn't agree with that more.
Are they going to be... Are they charming and eccentric and America will fall in love with them? Or is America going to do nothing but make fun of them and ruin these people's lives? I really do feel bad for these kids.
I think this is going to be one of those things where people love to hate them.
Right.
Love to hate.
Well, let's just do one event. There's a bunch of events.
But we'll find out next week when you bring us some highlights.
There's a bunch of events that they get involved in, including the belly flop into the mud pool. They got that. It's one of the big events. But here's the one that they decided that one of the daughters is going to participate in. And I hope you're not eating breakfast.
Today, Pumpkin's going to be bobbing for pig feet.
Okay, so Pumpkin, who is the 12-year-old, is going to be bobbing for pig feet. Okay?
Oh, God.
And they look like they just cut them right off the pig and threw them in a vat of water.
And you put your
face into the water, and I think there's like eight of them in there or something. You're supposed to see how many you can pick up with your mouth and take outside of the bucket. This is a thing that people do and is on TV.
I thought the pig feet were kind of disgusting. I mean, I actually thought that they would be some kind of cookness to it. They were actually raw.
No cookness to it.
I think she did pretty good. I mean, she's competitive. Hopefully she just won't get sick.
I just competed in the pig feet thing, and I got two pig's feet. Did my family proud, though.
Yeah, she came in dead last in the pig feet contest, but somehow just participating in it, she thinks, makes her family proud.
She did her family proud, right.
All right, let's go back. Let's meet Chubbs now. Chubbs is, she's taken the nickname to heart, you guys. And she's, as I said, her real name's Jessica. She's 15 and she's a little heavy. And how could she not be with what they eat in this family, which is just cheese balls all the time?
And the mom's did you say 309 pounds?
309 pounds, yeah. So she's thinking about maybe it's time, maybe she's got a little bit of awareness, because maybe it's time to turn her life around, start thinking about her eventual, you know, escape from this family.
Sure.
Mama.
What, Chubbett?
Please don't call me that.
Why, man? I've always called you that.
Because I'm getting too fat.
Okay, please note, while they're doing this, while they're talking about how they're fat, they're eating cheese balls.
Couldn't be cramming more cheese balls in their mouth at the same time.
Why are they eating too fat?
Because
Chubbett is my 15-year-old daughter. She is getting to high school. It's a different ball game. A lot of girls care about what they look like.
Kevin, you have daughters. In a billion years, could you ever pick a nickname for your kids that makes fun of how fat they are?
No, that's
what
ridiculous.
Are you setting this girl up for by calling her Chubbs and Chubbett her whole life?
Well, basically, you're setting her up to be you, Mom.
Right.
Which is the worst possible scenario.
I was having issues at school with fitting in, so I decided I wanted to lose weight.
Is that why you've been trying to look all nice and pretty for the last few days of school?
I just thought losing weight.
She's been kind of really worried about the way she, like, looks.
Bad question.
Huh? What?
Okay. Will you lose weight with me if I lose weight?
I'm going to aim myself at it, but if it's supportive of you, I'll do it. How much weight are you going to lose?
About a quarter of 30.
When are you going to start?
Tomorrow. My mother has told me in the past that if you fart 12 to 15 times a day, you can lose a lot of weight. So I think I'm going to lose a lot of weight because I'm going to fart a lot.
All right. I think maybe that's a good place to leave it.
Hold on. Hold on. Her mom told her if you fart a lot, you lose weight.
Yes.
While
that's right.
They're literally drowning themselves in cheese puffs or whatever
yes,
that is.
That's right. That's
really?
That's what's going on in their family.
I'm so looking forward to next week's report.
Nope. Nope. So now it's all making sense. This is why you've been walking around for the past 2 months going, Mom?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's
exactly.
Because of Grimm, which returns tonight for season 2 on NBC at 10 o'clock. Now on Mondays, by the way, we've got the Grimm himself. David Gentoli is the actor who plays him on the show, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, David. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Gentlemen, doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Monday nights, that seems like an investment. That seems like NBC saying, okay, we're not putting you in the wasteland anymore. We're moving you to a night where people watch TV. You got to feel good about that.
But they're also keeping us in the wasteland, too. So it airs Mondays and Fridays now. And then Mondays for like the first, I think, 4 episodes.
What?
5 episodes. And then we just go back to a Friday.
Okay, so wait.
You being there, too.
Okay, so hold on. So the first couple are going to air twice a week?
The first 5 are going to air twice a week, but yeah, it's going to be Mondays first. They want to get all the new viewers and then take us
but
back to the genre.
But it's fake getting the new viewers because then they're going to put you back on Fridays.
Man, you know what? Let's talk about the show.
Let's talk about the show. At the end of last season, Mom, that was a bit of a surprise. Now, explain to people who don't watch Grimm your character and your mom and the situation.
Okay, so this is what happens in our show. So, you know, Wilhelm and Jacob Grimm, they're the Grimm's brothers. They're the guy who wrote Grimm's fairy tales, and we all know about those. And my character always knew about those. But in our show, it turns out they weren't just fairy tale writers. They were actually profiling stuff they actually saw because they were Grimms, and Grimms have this special ability to see what other human beings can't. And so my character can see these monsters. Monsters hate Grimms because we can see them, so they try to kill us. So there's very few Grimms left. It's a very lonely existence.
Okay, so your family can see what other people can't. So other people will just see a guy walking down the street. You'll see whatever monster he is.
Exactly.
He tries to kill you, and so because he's trying to kill you, you have to kill him?
Well, often they want to kill us. Sometimes the monsters are safe, and they're good, or they're trying to be good. And actually, on the show, one of my kind of comrades is this werewolf who's kind of does Pilates and eats vegan and goes to his church and he tries to be good, but he's always kind of on the edge. He's a great character played by Silas Weir Mitchell.
We actually talked to him last season, yeah, and he is fantastic on that show.
He's brilliant, man.
Do you ever listen to yourself describe the show and wonder how you ended up here, David? I mean, it is a bizarre life that nobody could have ever predicted is having this conversation with strangers all day, right?
I know it, man. Like, I hope it even makes sense when I describe it. But you know, I love the show and I love being employed. I'll tell you that.
Sure, of course.
And it's cool, man. It's cool to be on a show where you create a world of rules and. You get to discover what those rules are as you go on with my character, because he's only just learned he's a Grimm.
He only learned he's a Grimm, and he does think he's the last one until the last episode of the season where you run into your mom and you go, hey, what about that whole thing where you were dead? Here's a clip, I think, from tonight's episode.
Nick, it's me.
Mom? So you just let me think you were dead?
It was the only way I could think to protect you. I don't have an easy answer. All I have are a lot of regrets.
Nice. She can't even explain it. Good work.
Yeah. That's how breathy I can get.
And the show is dark, too, which I like. It seems like so often, David, things are sanitized for my protection on television, but this show is not afraid to make it scary, which I think is awesome. There's not very much like that on television.
No, there isn't, and we do. I mean, the show's called Grimm for a reason. You know, it's kind of a play on words. Each crime scene is more gruesome than the next, and it'll go there, and it's very frightening. And I always I'm surprised when kids say they watch it or parents say they have their kids watch it, because it is quite dark.
Oh, yeah, you're inviting nightmares right before the kid goes to bed. That's for sure.
That's what we do. Now, like, I loved being afraid when I was a kid, and it kind of ruined my life slash made it wonderful.
I have to ask this, David. I know you've talked about it a bunch before, but you're one of those actors that other actors hate because you kind of fell into it. You didn't grow up as, you know, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, yeah, a 10-year-old dying to act. You just kind of fell into it. You got cast on a MTV reality show, and the next thing you know, you're starring in your own network sitcom. Do you think
that's how it reads on paper. Go ahead.
That is kind of the thumbnail version. Obviously, you worked very hard to get where you are also and studied acting and audition. I know you did all of that too, but it wasn't your original plan. It's not like you had this burning desire as a kid to be an actor.
Correct.
Do you think you would have ended up being happy not being an actor if you'd never known about this, or would you have always felt that something was missing and you missed out on your true calling?
I mean, you're right about that. I would have been unhappy not giving it my full on effort. Like, you first you go out and you're like, I have to give it a try. Then you realize it's not going to be a try. It's going to be a way of life.
Right.
And if you end up making money and you get a job, you do. And if you just do theater, then that's what happens, you know, and you're happy. And so I wouldn't have been happy had I not given it a go.
Have you like really fallen in love with acting itself, or is it just awesome to be a good looking kid who makes a lot of money?
No, I have fallen in love with it. It took that journey for me. At first, I just kind of wanted a job. And, you know, the more you get into it, the more you really fall in love with the craft of it and get envious of people who are just brilliant and have had all this training. And you know, now all I want to do is do that, you know.
That's awesome.
So,
I got to tell you, the show is fun because you don't give everybody all the answers, but there are always answers every episode. You go to that trailer, you try and figure things out. You're trying to keep your fiance from knowing. You're trying to keep your partner from knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And yet you're not doing that very well.
No. Yeah, it's funny because my character, you kind of discover the world through him. He really knows nothing during the first season, and he starts to slowly understand what's going on and slowly accept his, you know, that he is this thing that he didn't think he was. And once my mom comes back, she's going to be telling me a lot more about my life. You know, I still go to the monsters to tell me about what's going on in this world. And we discover quite a bit in the first couple episodes.
Well, season 2 premieres tonight at 10 on NBC. We say watch it tonight, watch it again on Friday. That's what we say. The show is called Grimm. David Gentile, thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, guys.
How about a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes? We're talking about a full year to visit both Disneyland and California Adventure. That's awesome, right? Could you talk higher? I don't think I could, actually. Later this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
I did not watch any of the Olympics other than last night. I tuned in because I wanted to see what the closing ceremonies were all
about.
You
wanted to see the Spice Girls, let's be honest.
Well, sure, of course. But I also wanted to see what else they would do. And I just think odd choice to have a monkey riding a little ambulance around a hospital room. It just didn't make any sense to me. I don't understand why they would put that in the closing ceremony.
Sounds like the show afterwards.
Or in the middle, you mean?
In the middle?
Where NBC showed that show and then went back and did the rest of the closing ceremony that they didn't show, like The Who.
That animal practice
and news and all the stuff that they didn't air during the regular part.
Wait, so they aired part of it, and then they showed animal practice, and then they aired the rest of it?
Yes.
It was very confusing for those of us trying to follow at home, because you heard Bob Costa say, we'll be back to wrap up after this, and then boom, you're right into animal practice, and you go, well, I guess it's over.
That's weird.
And you're saying they came back later after Animal Practice and your late local news.
Yes, and showed you Muse and The Who, and they closed the actual ceremonies.
But they had time for Russell Brand in the first part, I
hope. Of course, you don't want to cut out Russell Brand.
Right.
And you have to let Jessie J sing about a dozen numbers. She had to perform a bunch, and I was like, who's Jessie J? And why is she singing with Queen and everyone else in England?
It does seem like she had already been on earlier in the ceremony to sing her little price tag song, which was fine. It was a big hit. But why bring her back to sing with Queen? Didn't it seem like it needed Robert Plant or somebody like with some gravitas to sing that song?
Yes.
I was very disappointed.
Anyway, that's your Olympic closing ceremony
update. We wanted to see Muse. For those of us who set up our DVRs to see Muse, we got kind of ripped off a little bit.
Good work, NBC. across the board.
I've been asking the entire Olympics, what happened to Muse's Olympic song that they wrote to be the official song? They couldn't even play it in the closing until after Animal Practice and News.
I know the stadium was empty. Oh, I know. Muse was there playing by themselves. All the athletes had left. It was just Muse on stage.
All the people were back in their hotel rooms.
I think Russell Brand and Jesse J were sitting in the crowd.
Wow.
Was it's very strange.
Well done.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Here are your winners. The Bourne Legacy, $40.3 million, made it number one this weekend.
Suck it, Matt Damon.
The Campaign, number two, Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis came in at number two with $27.4 million. The Dark Knight Rises was third. Then Hope Springs and Diary of a Wimpy Kid Dog Days was fifth. Total Recall, Ice Age 4, Ted, Step Up Revolution, The Watch, and The Amazing Spider-Man. Number 10 at the box office. Speaking of Marvel Comics, which of course created The Amazing Spider-Man, Fox is talking about rebooting its Fantastic Four franchise. The movies prior, the prior two Fantastic Four movies did okay.
I thought they were decent.
They were decent, and they did okay money, but I think the movie company thinks in light of the Avengers and the Spider-Man reboot that there's more successful films yet to be made featuring the Fantastic Four, one of the most popular teams of superheroes in comics. And I think I now know who should play the Human Torch.
Okay.
Because I didn't really even know this, and I pride myself on sort of being a geek and knowing a lot of trivia about stuff. I had no idea that in the early 1970s, there was a short-lived Fantastic Four radio show. It was like a radio play where they would take Fantastic Four comic books and do...
act them out?
Act them out, basically. Huh. Yeah, with special effects and things like that. And in the early 70s, an out-of-work actor looking for a gig fresh from Chicago to New York named Bill Murray was cast as the Human Torch.
Yay!
What?
That was my reaction. So I brought in a little piece of the first episode of the Fantastic Four radio series. This is when the Fantastic Four is getting all their powers after they've been bombarded with cosmic rays.
Sure.
And Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, is looking around at his three friends saying, you're all changing into these creatures. And then he realizes he can burst into flames.
You've turned into monsters, all of you. It's those terrible cosmic rays. Look at me. They've gotten me, too. My body's beginning to blaze. And I'm lighter than air. I can fly. Oh, wow, I can really fly.
Oh, Johnny.
It's okay, sis. I just feel a little warm, that's all.
This is the reason Bill Murray can't do any serious films, because every time he talks, he sounds like he's putting you on. Yeah. You're all monsters! And look at me! I'm in flames! Ow! The plants are going to die! Where are you going? So there's Bill Murray as the Human Torch. That you get a kick out of
that. Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to like it, and you're going to want it more and more. It's like the end of Scrooged. Danny Bonaducci is 53 years old today. John Slattery from Mad Men celebrates his 50th. And Debbie Mazar is 48 as we look at the celebrity birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If I know my Kevin, I know that he was up at 9 a.m. Saturday waiting to see Mitt Romney announce his vice presidential running mate. I know Kevin is hanging on every single
Saturday morning.
Pins and needles,
pins and
right?
Needles, yeah.
That would have been Mexico-Brazil gold medal game in soccer. Sorry.
But you missed Congressman Paul Ryan from Wisconsin. You missed him.
I don't care.
He's Mitt Romney's vice president. I don't care. Who, by the way, and I'll never think anything different, looks exactly like our friend Andrew Siciliano. It's so weird. I kept just
maybe
expecting.
It is Andrew.
It might have been. He didn't tell us anything about that. But we are getting into, I mean, look, I know it seems like November is a long way away, but it's not. And it's a close race between, President Obama and the challenger, Mitt Romney. And, now he's got a running mate, and now he's out there, trying to raise money and getting it done. And he has a very high-profile supporter already, Mitt Romney does, and that is Mr. Clint Eastwood, who was part of an event recently held in Idaho where 325 people paid $25,000 to attend this Romney fundraiser. And Clint Eastwood was there in Sun Valley and supported him and said, Mitt's his man. We wanted to find out more about that because if Clint Eastwood talks, I listen. Let's hear what he's got to say. He joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Eastwood, welcome, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm cool.
Okay. Yes, you are.
As always.
But isn't it really, really hot out?
Doesn't matter. I'm still cool.
Yeah. You're still cool. You're always cool.
All right. Well, we were trying to figure out who to vote for, and
Mitt Romney.
Right. Now we're going to vote for Mitt Romney till somebody, another celebrity comes along and tells us who they're going to vote for. And then we have to reconsider.
I don't think you goddamn will.
We have to reconsider.
I think you're just going to vote for permit.
What if the situation tells us who he's voting for?
It's the third quarter in America.
Oh, now it's the third quarter.
That's right.
Okay.
All quarter's gone by since last time we talked.
Okay.
Who do we have the ball, or do the communists have the ball? I'm having trouble following the game, Mr.
First of all, there's no communists.
There's no communists. Okay.
It's just us versus them. And they've got the ball. But it's the third quarter. We're only down by six.
Okay.
They got two field goals right after the half. So. But the good news is we've got a couple trick plays up our sleeve.
Uh-huh.
Now it's time to call for the Wildcat. So let's bring in that quarterback you didn't think you'd see in the game.
Right.
Put him in the lineup.
Okay. Who's that?
Let's
who's
take
the quarterback?
Wide receiver and use him as a tight end. I'm going to take the two running backs and roll them out on either side.
You're losing me.
And we've only got 3 yards to go for a first down.
Where are we
this
on
is
the
fourth
field?
Down territory.
Okay, but where?
We're about the 27-yard
27, all right.
I think we may be stretching this analogy a bit far. So let's face it. There are people who listen to celebrities. When you talk Clint Eastwood, people do listen. Can you tell us in just a few words why Mitt Romney is your guy?
Sure. There you go.
That was
I'm
no
I'm going to add a few words.
That was no words.
All right, here's another.
What are it's you hard to argue with that.
What are you shooting at?
What's that?
What are you shooting at?
Oh, politics.
I see. Okay.
Broken dreams.
Okay.
The American way.
All right.
Listen, America needs a boost.
Okay.
And I think Mitt Romney looks like a president.
He looks like a president.
That's right.
Okay.
Is, very presidential.
Is that all we need?
That's about all I can figure
okay.
out.
Okay.
I'm an old man.
Right.
And I really can't be bothered looking into records or platforms. So I just cast my president like I cast
oh, I
a
see.
Movie.
I got you.
I just look around and say, yeah, that guy looks like president. He could play the president.
But doesn't Obama look like a president as well?
Yeah, but a Kenyan president.
He's not Kenyan.
Like a president of Kenya.
He's not.
I was making Invictus all over again. I would cast him to play Omzade Mbowa.
He's actually an American, sir, if you don't mind my saying so.
Oh, sure he is.
Okay. All right.
All right, let's not get derailed by that. All right, so you got Mitt Romney. Whoa, you all right there, Clint?
Yeah, I just went off by accident.
All right.
Okay, be careful with that. Anything else you want us to know or do or vote for or buy or think about or pray to? What else you got for us, Clint?
Wow, that's a all-encompassing question.
That's a question. It's a long list of things I have to tell you. Okay. Bye, Jif. Peanut butter, because I'm out.
Bye, Jeff.
So pick some up next time you're at the store.
Okay, but, and how
bring
do we
it
get
by
it?
The house, will you?
How do we get it to you?
You bring it by the house, okay. God damn it.
All right, I'm sorry.
I just told you.
I'm sorry. That wasn't for
like
me, was it?
Shooting going on.
Crap, it's fourth quarter already.
Oh, no, now what do we do?
We're running out of time. I think we better punt.
All right, we'll punt. All right. We had one of our very favorite guys in the studio with us last week, Travis Pastrana, who is just a maniac and the nicest guy in the world, yet cannot say no to a challenge.
Yeah.
He has broken every bone in his body. Of course, he's a motocross, multiple gold medal winner. He was in with his beautiful co-star,
Jolene
Van Vliet from the new movie Nitro Circus 3D, which had a very limited release over the weekend. It was only on 800 screens. It made $1.7 million, by the way. It's all it made on 800 screens. But it is going to expand, and you should go see it. If you love X Games, you definitely want to see this movie because they do the craziest stuff. And he told us last week that one of the reasons they didn't shoot it in the United States is because we have all those pesky safety regulations. You go to a country like Panama, you give somebody a six-pack of beer, they'll let you do anything anywhere, right?
They said, yeah, whatever, knock yourself out. So they go up between two buildings in one of the stunts and use a tricycle. They set up a ramp on one building, 63 floors high, and then a landing ramp on the other building, 63 floors high, and
jeez.
Then they use a little tricycle to jump across it. Now, that seems bad.
How far across are they going?
I don't know.
What's it look like in the trailer?
Listen, for as far as I would guess, 30. I mean, it's two buildings, so they can't be too close together.
Right,
I would guess
can't.
30 feet.
Jeez.
And no safety net, right?
And it's like 7 million feet down.
That's insane.
Unless it's connected, that seems like a bad plan.
Look, it's like that guy, that clown who always climbs the tallest buildings in the world and puts a tightrope across them and walks it, and it's sure death if you fall. What is it about some people where they, if somebody says, I bet you can't, they say, well, now I have to try.
Yeah. Not even what I bet you can't, just I'm in. If it just, if it sounds fun, like this was my entire childhood, jumping off our roof into the shallow end of the swimming pool, just because we wanted to see if we could get far enough to the deep end, and most of the time, no. You know, and we would end up hurting our ankle or something, and we would set up ramps, and we would jump our bikes into the swimming pool. And my dad came in one day, and he's like, hey, are there tire marks on the bottom of our pool?
And there's no, I guess you, I, see, that's what's interesting about Travis, is he's a grown-ass man with a family. You'd think that at this point he would have that switch that goes off in everybody else's head that says, oh, wait, I could be paralyzed. I'm not going to do that.
Right, but mine was just foolish child play.
When you're a kid, you never think that there's any possibility that you're going to break your neck when you jump off of a roof into a pool,
of course.
Right?
Of course.
Because you're invincible.
I got knocked out on a piece of plywood when I tried to surf on it in our swimming pool off the diving board.
Oh, my God.
I jumped off the diving board. I was going to land on the piece of wood and surf.
And surf.
I was in Phoenix. We didn't have an ocean. So, and I hit my head on the side of it and got knocked out. So that's good times. But for the most part, nothing terrible happened to me. But I can't imagine I'm the only person that was like that.
Well, and when you're a kid, you kind of bounce. So things that you did when you were a kid that were okay when you're just a little bit older, you can break a lot of stuff.
By the way, before we get to your phone calls, and we do want to hear from you if you've had, if you've done stunts on a dare, if you had a childhood like Kevin's where your friends would say, hey, let's, and you said, okay, I'm in. We want to hear from you. We want to hear the crazy stuff, the Nitro Circus type stuff that you did that either ended or didn't end well.
It doesn't have to be 63 floors high. We don't think anybody would do that except for Travis Pastrana. Or jump out of a plane without an air, you know, parachute.
Right.
But we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about the types of stunts you and your friends did, the types of things that you dared each other to do, the types of things you couldn't walk away from, you had to at least try. But I'd just like to point this out. Kevin sits there telling us about time after time after time that he got hit in the head. And then in the next sentence he says, but I didn't have anything wrong with me, it's fine. I worked out okay. I'm just lucky. You ever think there might be some comparison between all those times you got hit in the head and what you sound like and think like today?
Not one time has that occurred to me, no.
Because you got hit in the head.
That could be. I mean, maybe that's the problem is I got hit in the head and I don't realize it. But
yeah, I think it may be time to start revisiting some of those injuries and thinking maybe now we're getting some answers here.
Good point, Bean.
What about girls, Lisa? Do you guys have that thing when you're young?
We used to do, I remember like on the monkey bars, we would sit on top and then swing backwards with no hands and do a flip off and land. And we did that all the time, which is just amazing today. Like, they would never let a kid do that.
No, of course not.
And I landed weird once and broke a bone in my foot. But I think that was about the worst. And it wasn't dares. We were, like, trying to be gymnasts.
You were watching the Olympics
much. I could do that.
I could do that.
Yeah. So it's a little different, I think, generally for girls. Not so much the dare.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Guys are much worse at that. Girls are smarter. That's true. And alcohol may have had something to do with it, but not when I was a little kid.
No.
I mean, I was just dumb.
Just having fun.
Let's be honest.
All right. If they put one call on hold, I'd like to get something in before we go here. 1-800-520-1067. We got some good calls coming in. Our listeners, as you know, man, they're up for anything. Let's start with Rula. Now, Rula is a woman, and she does have a story for us. Rula, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for calling.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
What'd you do?
Okay, we were younger, probably around 7 or 8. We dared our sister to go up into a treehouse. When she couldn't get down, we had her jump out of it.
Sweet.
And she broke both her ankles.
She did not bounce.
Ankles.
So, so she climbed up the tree, and it was a tough climb going up, but she thought impossible to go down. She could not figure out how to climb down that tree, so she just had to jump.
She was freaking out, and my oldest sister got this bright idea out of cartoons. Let's pull a blanket tight. We'll catch her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
How'd that work out?
Very badly.
Broke both
All
ankles.
All of us got our butts kicked by our parents when they got home.
I love that feel. I love that feeling right when you realize your, did you say it was your sister?
Yeah.
Had broken both ankles, and you were probably thinking, oh, crap, I'm in trouble.
Yep.
We were laughing when it happened.
Oh, my God.
She was laughing later on.
Screaming in pain.
Don't jump. It'll be fine. Come on.
It'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
We'll
catch you. We got it here.
Rula, that is it. Perfect story. Thank you so much for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Let's hear about your crazy stunts. What did you do? What did you dare someone to do? What did they dare you to do? Your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
What a surprise. Tonight. Not one phone line open. Nah, what a surprise.
How about that? That is a surprise knowing our listeners, right? Talking about Nitro Circus 3D over the weekend. Talking about that movie that opened up with Travis Pastrana doing crazy, crazy stunts. Just like Kevin used to do when he was a youngster. Just
still.
Like you used to do at 1-800-520-1067. Looking for your calls right now if you want to give us a call and tell us what you did. Where do you want to go? Who do you want to start with here?
We know this is the Jackass music, but let's face it. The people that are doing these stunts that aren't Travis, Jackasses. Let's start with Josh on line one. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What stunt did you try and fail at?
All right, well, when I was about 13, my friend had a pool in his backyard, and we took a shopping cart from the local store. We thought, you know what, we can launch that shopping cart into the pool with a person in it. I was the person in the pool as they were as they were pushing the cart. I came nowhere near hitting the pool. Instead, I just hit pure concrete, both wrists.
Oh. Now, wait.
I like the difference between how you think it's going to go and then how it goes.
Yeah, you envision flying through the air and looking like a stud. And the next thing you know, you're tumbled out of a car with two broken wrists.
Maybe doing a flip at the end before you go in the water, maybe.
That's fantastic.
No. It was hands straight out and pure concrete.
Oh, broke both wrists.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah.
Wow. That hurts for obvious reasons later that night. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's try David. He's got a surfing story for us on line two.
Hey, David.
Not the kind of surfing you're thinking. Hi, David.
What's up, guys? What up, Carson? This is Santa Monica!
Nicely done. Nicely done. Good work.
All right, how about Aaron, line three? Aaron, thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What'd you try?
I built a quarter of a half pipe, and before we were completely done, my buddy dared me to try and do a backflip off of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was 11 years old, and it was made out of 2x4s and plywood, so I really wasn't a carpenter then.
Right.
Attempted to do the backflip. I got about halfway up it, went through it, and nearly took my head off of the 2x4.
Oh, no.
My neck was swollen for at least a month.
Jeez.
it was pretty painful for a while, but it didn't stop me. After that, I got into bicycle motocross, and I broke my knee one time doing dirt jumping and a lot of the stuff like the X Games and things like that, but I thought I was Fuzzy Hall at one point.
That's my man right there. I like the guy that kills himself and then goes, I want to do that more. That'd be awesome.
Let's go down to line eight. Let's get Justin on. Justin's got a great one for us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Justin. Hello?
Dustin, hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I at least made Kevin.
Hello.
When I used to live back in Texas, back in the woods when the sand pits where the construction workers are, and they build those big-ass sand dunes.
Sure.
There, my stepbrother, I was like, hey, you know what? I bet you can't take that fool and go up that 30 feet up, you know, and then, you know, when you know it, he went up there and, like, just about when he's about to hit the tip, the front of the wheels came backwards and landed right on him and broke his arm.
Oh, ouch.
I was laughing at the moment because, you know, stepbrother, I was like,
sure.
You know, but yeah, and I definitely got my ass kicked by my stepdad.
Yeah.
When I got home.
Your stepdad did the right thing. Thank you, Dustin, for the call.
Everything seems like a good idea at some point. By the way, I haven't heard any of these stories that involve alcohol yet. At least they didn't mention that.
No, this is just dumb kids.
Yeah, so far it's dumb kids, but we're open to adults who did dumb things on alcohol too. Let's try Rich. Rich is on line six. He's not the one who got hurt. I think he helped somebody else get hurt. Hi, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Lisa May. Coming to me.
Good morning.
Actually, it did involve alcohol and some crazy friends and a 70-foot cliff.
Mm.
Ooh, into
70
what?
70 foot.
Into 70 what?
70-foot, Lost Lakes out in Fontana, into a lake.
Lake,
small
okay.
Lake. It was an old rock quarry, and we used to go jump off the side of these 70-foot cliffs, and I was kind of a diver, so I could pull off gainers and 1.5s and things like that. And I challenged a buddy to do it, and he tried it, and he kind of ragdolled into the water. And
that hurts from 70 feet.
It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
Wow.
And we were laughing our asses off because we were, of course, drunk. Excuse me.
Of course.
Thought it was great.
What did he break?
Sternum. Right down the middle.
Oh, ouch.
Broke his sternum.
Dude.
Wow. Yeah. Split him open that. Split him open. It's like, this is funny. Wait a second. We got to get an ambulance.
Split him right in half. That's bad news.
Thanks for the call.
Holy crap.
Let's go to line 7. Let's get Daniel going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Your crazy Nitro Circus stunts. Daniel, what happened?
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bean? How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good, Daniel.
What'd you do?
I was about 10, 11 years old, and I just got my rollerblades, and I was dared to take the brakes off and learn how to T-stop.
Sure.
And then dared to go down this incredibly steep, very windy road in Pasadena on the mountain.
Right, but let me just guess if I could. You hadn't mastered stopping yet.
No, not at all.
Good.
I mean, I only had the things for about an hour, but I thought I could do it.
Sure.
And went down the road, and at the bottom of the hill, I mean, I'm going about maybe 35 miles an hour. I barely missed the cars on the busy, busy intersection.
Oh, you're lucky you're alive.
Lot. Yeah, well, I went into a parking lot and went face first into a dumpster. And broke my nose and broke two of my ribs.
Oh.
The hardest part was climbing back up the hill and then telling my mom, yeah, I might need to go to the hospital. And she beat the crap out of me only because I had to go to the hospital. Not
nice.
Because I broke her bones. Because she had to leave her her hangout with her friends and take me to the hospital.
Well, I'm sure that's not the first time that happened.
No, it wasn't. I broke a lot more bones along the way.
Sure.
Isn't it amazing that any of our listeners grew up to adulthood?
Truly.
Yeah, well, it's crazy the stuff.
He just broke
happens.
His nose and a couple of ribs.
Yeah, he could have been hit by a car.
He could have been hit by a car, but, yeah.
I have the great story to tell at school the next day.
That's
so.
True.
But the mindset of, I've only been on these rollerblades for an hour, but I think I could do Olympic-style stunts. That's what I love so much about Daniel. Thank you very much for the call. All right, we got time for just a couple of more, but obviously we've got a million of them. Let's try John. He's on line 4. He's fooling around in an abandoned house. Let's see how that went horribly wrong for him. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
What'd you do?
So when we were young, we had this abandoned house that was in our neighborhood, and it was all boarded up, and, of course, it was haunted.
Yeah.
Sure.
As far as we were concerned. And we wanted to go inside one day, and the only way in was through a hole in the roof. So I was going to go in and
open up
the front door.
Hang on a second. So you're just going to jump from the roof to the floor?
Yes.
And then go open the front door?
Yes.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out well. We did not bring flashlights or anything, so I just jumped. And I
into the dark? You just jumped not knowing what was there?
Yep.
Wow, you're dumb.
But brave. Very brave.
Nope, dumb.
And
so
I landed on a 2x4, and I nailed it to my foot.
There was a nail sticking up?
Yep.
Oh, ouch.
It was a couple of inches outside of the 2x4, nailed it to my foot, and I had to walk home with a 3-foot 2x4 nailed to my foot.
And, are you serious?
I would love to have seen the walk.
We couldn't get it out because of the rubber and the sneakers. It kind of grabbed onto the nail.
Oh, my God.
So my mom was a nurse, and she did that, okay, I'm going to pull it out on 3 thing. And of course, she pulled it out on 1.
Yeah. Sure.
And then we went to the emergency room so I could get
times.
A tetanus shot.
Good times. And those tetanus shots indeed. Feel good, don't they?
Oh, yeah, it's the best thing ever.
They're the cherry on top of that ice cream sundae. Thanks to everybody for the calls.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Don't get Teen Wolf in the next room. They're mad because you know what happens, right? So let's just everybody be cool, okay? Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf on MTV joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, this is going to come as a shock.
You have some tickets?
But I've got tickets. To an advanced screening of a movie.
That's not like you.
I know. I want to shake things up a little bit. I'm going to give away some tickets to an advanced screening of a film.
Which movie this time?
This time, it's a little movie starring my buddy, Joe Gordon-Levitt. It's called Premium Rush.
Yay! That looks so cool.
Is this the bike riding movie?
This is the Bike Messenger movie, yeah. Bike Messenger just doing his job, picks up an envelope, just another day. Or is it? When a dirty cop and the mob and everyone else gets involved in what he's got in his satchel and they all want it. But he can't give it up, man. That's the code of the messenger.
Is this all code? Are we still talking about?
It's not a code. It's the code of the messenger is what I'm saying, man.
Oh, I love Michael Shannon so much.
You protect your products.
He rides the hell out of that bike, too. That bike must be tired.
So many things just riding. If you'd like to see Premium Rush, how would you like to see it before anybody else? I can make that happen. It's going to happen on the Sony lot. You get to go to the studio itself to see Premium Rush on Thursday, August the 23rd.
But you have to ride your bike there. That's
no, you don't. You can take a car. It's fine. And then the movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, August the 24th. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, as I mentioned, Michael Shannon, Jamie Chung, Danny Ramirez, Aaron Tveit. Great cast. You can pick it up right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First three callers that get through, I will anoint you with a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Premium Rush.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the
Dave,
afternoon?
No, Dave. I'm telling you, it's...
He's so confused.
He's so confused. He showed up down at San Juan Capistrano trying to get in Hollywood Babylon, looking for tickets to that. He's where are the tents? Where's the tents, he said. I think he was confused. It was crazy.
Will Glenda be there?
Thanks to all the Kerrig listeners, by the way, who showed up on Saturday night for Smith and I down there at the Coach House in SJC, as we call it now.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
San Juan Capistrano.
And a special thanks to Emery, our sign language interpreter who shared the stage with us Saturday night.
That I always wondered how you know if they're signing correctly.
Well, we worked them. We tested them. You should go to smodcast.com or on iTunes. You can go to Get Hollywood Babylon. The new podcast of Saturday Night Show has been posted, so you can check it out. But it's a big part of the show is us grilling him to see if he knew what he was doing.
Because you could be up there saying some funny stuff, and he could be going, Ralph's a douche.
Right, we have no idea. So we were like, we'd see him do something and say, all right, repeat that. And we'd force him to do something.
Jeff, can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something?
No.
Or can I just go down there? Because
just go down there.
Stop it.
Just go down there.
Dave. It'd be amazing watching this guy having to make up signs for stuff. Because we were saying things that just don't exist in the American Sign Language Dictionary, I promise you. You had to do this a lot. A lot of this gesture. It was very confusing.
I went to see David Cross do comedy, and he had a sign language guy that was there for probably 10 minutes, and then finally he said, well, what are you doing? I don't have a sign language guy. And the guy just turned and walked away. It was part of the act.
Oh, that's funny.
It was the most bizarre thing because you totally accepted that that's what the guy was doing.
You know, ours was a request made by a deaf patron who wanted to come out and see the show. And they provide that service at the Coach House if there's a show that the deaf want to attend to. And really, the deaf are our biggest podcast audience for some reason. Oh, the deaf love our podcast. Can't get enough of it. All right, let's talk about showbiz.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert?
About 8.3 miles. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look every Monday morning. Bourne Legacy, $40.3 million. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. I guess nobody saw Bourne Free. That's what I'm guessing. Because they all paid.
Really?
Made 40. Just
put that in.
Really?
The,
come on.
Put that.
Yeah.
In
really?
The file.
I'm just born this way.
Can't
help it. Stop. Do it for me. Look, I'm born to be wild. I can't help myself.
Oh, God!
I should be born to run out of the studio. That's what I should be doing.
I wish that would happen.
$40.3 million. The campaign was second. Dark Knight Rises came in at number three. Hope Springs was fourth in its debut. $15.6 million for the new Tommy Lee Jones, Meryl Streep comedy, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days was fifth, then Total Recall, Ice Age 4, Ted, Step Up, Revolution, The Watch, and The Amazing Spider-Man were tied for 10th place with $2.2 million each. So let's say you're walking through the park in New York City.
Okay.
And you're sure, like most days, you run across a woman giving birth in the middle of the park.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't seem ideal.
Well, if you're actor comedian Jonah Hill, what do you do? Well, you stand there and start snapping cell phone pictures.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't help?
No.
I thought he delivered the baby or something.
No, the ambulance showed up. He was he just pulled out his camera and started snapping pictures, mostly of the afterbirth, it says here. Yeah.
That's why I love him so much.
Yeah.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Here's his tweet. The craziest thing I've ever seen. A woman gave birth next to me in the park. I took a picture of the placenta and TMZ caught me. Embarrassing. He tweeted after the fact. So I'm sure our buddy Harvey Levin will have more to talk about on that particular story. Sad news. Legendary special effects artist Carlo Rambaldi has passed away at the age of 86.
I feel sad.
Triple Oscar winner. Won statuettes for his work on Alien. He created the alien creature.
Wow.
King Kong in 1976 won a special achievement award for that special effects job. And E.T., of course, was his crowning achievement. He created the E.T. puppet. 150 different working mechanisms in that puppet. It was, at the time, state-of-the-art and still very effective, even if you watch that movie today. Another one of my favorite movies is Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Director of that film, Mel Stewart, passed away at the age of 83. Mel, for the most of his career, was a documentarian, made a movie and television documentaries.
No kidding.
It won a bunch of Emmys. And his daughter said, Daddy, my favorite book in the world is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Could you please make a movie about it? So he did.
Hmm.
How about that? And, of course, and made a legendary movie. Yeah, legendary musical starring Gene Wilder. Still one of my favorites. Joe Simpson, the creepy dad manager of Jessica Simpson, got popped last week for DUI.
He was the one that was talking about Jessica's boobs, right?
Yeah, he loves her boobs. He loves how hot she is.
She's got some giant cans or something. He said, yeah, something like, yeah. Dad, take it easy. You're not supposed to talk like that.
He got popped blowing a 0.12, which, as you know, is over the 0.08.
Quite a bit.
Which is the legal level of drunkenness in the state of California, so he's got problems. I'm thinking he was probably trying to get his daughter drunk. Take advantage of her, but it didn't work out, so he had to drive home.
That's an ugly thought and still possible.
And Chad Johnson of the Miami Dolphins is looking for new work. He had a bad weekend.
It just started. Football just started.
He played one preseason game, had a horrible press conference where he started dropping the F-bomb left and right and talking about getting into porn and going to strip clubs. Just like insanity. Then he dropped one pass, his only pass thrown his way in his first preseason game. Then he got arrested this weekend.
Oh, my God.
In Broward County. Arrested for allegedly headbutting his wife of 1 month, Evelyn.
Oh, my God.
Fail!
After she found a receipt for condoms in her husband's car.
Hey, it's better that he's safe, isn't it?
So he got arrested for domestic violence charges, and the Miami Dolphins said, you know what? We're good. Thanks so much for playing. But
I need you so much.
You know what? You just go do something else this fall. You're not playing so much football for us.
You know,
and when
Chip
the
is,
Dolphins don't want you.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
Chip is a huge Dolphins fan, and we've had a little bit of a wager whether T.O. is going to make it to the opening day for the Seahawks or whether Chad Ochocinco was going to make it to the Dolphins. Neither or both. So far, one down, one to go.
I would be surprised if Seattle didn't pick up Chad Johnson and add him to their roster.
Sure.
They seem to be collecting misfits up there.
Yes, they do.
If he's found guilty of this domestic violence charge, they said he could get Ochocinco years.
Is that right? Yes. I didn't realize that.
We'll have to wait and see how he does. Today's celebrity birthdays. Danny Bonaducci of the legendary Partridge Family. Of course, he has a long radio career as well.
What's he up to now, Ralph? Do you know where he's at?
You told me. He's up there in your neck of the woods. He's on the mornings, doing mornings in Seattle.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sounds great.
I think Bean, during songs here on K-Rock, goes over there and does breaks with Danny. 53 years old today, John Slattery of Mad Men and the Adjustment Bureau. So great on Mad Men. Just a brilliant, brilliant job. He's starting to direct episodes over there, too. 50 years old today, and actress Debbie Mazar. You know her from Entourage. She is Vincent Chase's publicist on that show. She was also in Goodfellas and a bunch of other movies. 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Tyler Posey is Teen Wolf, and he is in our studio here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now.
Oh, I appreciate the applause. It's very sweet.
Tyler, anytime somebody talks to us on the Kevin and Bean Show after they've already met Beer Mug, we are appreciative. Believe me, because usually Beer Mug's got a scorched earth policy with his interviews. They never want to come back to K-Rock again. So thanks so much for giving us a second chance.
Oh,
we
of
really
course.
Appreciate it.
Do you want to play the Beer Mug question that he had for him? Do you have that?
In a minute.
All right.
Yeah. Now, he saw you on the red carpet of the Teen Choice Awards, which just looked like an insane place to be. But you won one of those, right? Is that the show where you get a surfboard? Is that the one?
That is. Yeah. But they told me you won't get here until 9 months. So 9 months? I got a little while before I can start hitting those waves, man.
What's the deal with how much people scream when you come on stage? Because that seems like I would hate that life. I have to be honest. I mean, I know it's nice to be popular with girls and whatnot, but the screaming, don't you get tired of the screaming? We crossed paths a couple times with you at Comic-Con this year too, and the screaming is just my head still hurts.
It's one of those things I'm still getting used to, but you know, it's flattering. I embrace it, and I think it's just one of the coolest things ever, especially when guys are screaming for me, because you know,
Dave, the King of Mexico was screaming.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like
awesome.
A little girl. Yeah.
See, well, then, perfect. My life is complete.
here's what Beer Mug had to say to you on the red carpet.
Well, one last question before I let you go. How far do you see Teen Wolf going on MTV?
That's the kind of question he asked.
It's a great question.
It's not a bad question
at
all, man.
It is, because as an actor, I would guess the answer's for a long time.
Hopefully, right?
Right.
But
you don't know.
I don't know. My
right, so
ideal,
it's a bad question.
I would like it to go for like maybe 4 to 5 seasons, uh-huh. and then have a really gnarly, cool, epic movie to finish it off.
Oh, that's
off.
Sweet.
Sure. You know?
Why not?
That's sweet.
Now, we're at the finale of season two tonight at 10 on MTV, but you have already, this isn't a waiting game deal, you've already been picked up for season three. You know you're coming back,
yeah,
right?
Man. It's the most comfortable feeling ever, you know? Just like, just to know that you're coming back for a third season and you have work coming up for
yes.
you. It feels really good. I'm very
How much
excited.
Time do you have in between filming?
It's been, we finished filming at like, I think, at the end of March.
Okay.
So, and we don't go back until November or December. So.
Oh, come on. Wow. You're not going to make people wait for a full year.
We got a while. Well, we won't air it in summer. I think we're going to air it a little bit before summer.
Okay.
So it's not going to be a full year.
Next spring.
Something like that, yeah.
All right.
So we're
when
be...
you got the word about a season three pickup, what did you go out and buy?
We were in Comic-Con when we found out.
Oh, no kidding.
I think we just celebrated there. I'm not sure if I actually treated myself to a present yet. I bought a brand new car right before we found out we got picked up, so I guess I could say that.
No, I like that.
That was very brave of you.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, exactly, right?
That's not smart. I like that. I'm going to go get a car right now, but you don't know if you've been picked up
Dare
or not.
Dare the gods,
not
man.
Not quite sure yet.
Yeah. What was Comic-Con like for you? It must have just been crazy.
I absolutely
Because like Bean said,
Comic-Con.
Everybody's screaming everywhere. And...
Yeah, this was our third year at Comic-Con. Our first year was way different. No one knew us.
Right.
The second year, our show had been released, so we got a really good response. The first room of screaming girls we had ever seen, and it blew us away. This third year, you know, same thing, just a great response. Everyone is super cool. Our fans are super supportive, and Comic-Con is just a really fun time, as you know, everyone here knows. Like, I love it there.
Now, you're young enough. Let me rephrase the question. You're so young that I wouldn't be surprised if you had never heard of the Teen Wolf franchise, the movies, before you even found out about the TV show, right?
Right. No, I definitely heard. It's a I guess appropriate thing to think, but I had definitely heard of the movies. Michael J. Fox was one of my favorite actors growing up. Back to the Future was my favorite movie. So I just kind of like followed his career, and Teen Wolf was, you know, in his career. So I was definitely familiar with it before I booked the TV show.
And that was a wacky comedy. Your TV show is not quite so...
No,
not quite
not
so
at all.
It's modernized.
It upside down.
It's darker, but there's still some good comedy in there. It's just a really well-rounded show, pretty much.
What is the slime monster thing that stands?
Slime monster.
Well,
I wish it was a slime monster.
What is it?
It's a canema.
A canema.
I guess that's a better question for Jeff Davis, the creator.
I hear you
of the
throw those words around. And I go, oh, it's a canema. All right.
Every normal day conversation.
Have any idea what that means?
So it's like, I guess it's this shapeshifter, kind of like a werewolf, that lost its way, and it's got like a screwed up past, basically, which is why
it's
it turns
got screwed
into
up genes
like this.
As well, because
exactly because it's a walking lizard.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about the transformation to turn you into a wolf.
I actually just started thinking about it last night. Like, I was like, okay, cool, third season, we're gonna be in LA, this is gonna be awesome, I'm getting really excited, and then I'm like, oh god, I gotta get in the werewolf makeup.
Get in the werewolf makeup.
But, you know, it's not that bad. The only thing that's kind of weird about it are the contacts, which I'm not really used to yet. But yeah, it takes like 2.5 hours. It's this prosthetic thing that they put over my eyes. It's kind of like a Zorro mask almost, only flesh colored.
Right.
And Neanderthal looking. Because I said flesh.
Yes. What do you think?
This is my kind of
flesh
show.
Color. What am I thinking?
This is awesome.
What do you do in the chair for 2.5 hours? Do you sleep or
I've actually I've tried you know, because like my call time it takes a while to get the makeup on, so my call time is a little earlier than the rest of the cast, so I am pretty tired when I get there, but I can never fall asleep. I don't know why.
Do you listen to music?
Yeah. We definitely listen to music. The guys who put my makeup on are really, really cool dudes, and they're like my really good friends, so it's basically just like hanging out with my friends for 2.5 hours, listening to cool music, saying stupid jokes, and having fun.
I can't believe they haven't figured out a way to just make it a mask. You can just pull on a mask.
God, I wish.
It just
man.
Doesn't work that way.
It doesn't, you know, because they had to glue it on and then take it off. It's all right.
Do you find glue like a week later? Do you find like glue on the side of your head?
Always behind my ear. Always.
Sweet.
I don't know why.
That's true.
This is a sweet spot back there.
Tyler Posey is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the season two finale on MTV tonight of Teen Wolf, already coming back for a third season. We have to take a break. By the way, Tyler Posey on Twitter, Kevin, has over 300,000 followers. This is for a guy who doesn't have that much to say. Yes, 300,000 followers. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
More with Tyler right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin. Tyler Posey in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Season 2 finale of Teen Wolf is going to be on MTV tonight. This isn't really the kind of show that people can just start watching now, right? They kind of have to go back and start from the beginning, don't they?
Yeah, it would help, definitely. I mean, it's still a really entertaining show. You may be a little lost and confused, but I think it could still entertain people. I'm not really sure.
I think it's not that hard to catch up on any show these days.
No, Netflix.
I mean, basically, you type into Google catch up on whatever, and basically there's 100 sites that'll catch up pretty quickly.
One thing that's good about our show is that every time an episode airs, it goes on MTVteenwolf.com the next day.
The
full episode for free, so you can watch it, and it's really cool, actually.
How hot are the chicks on your show, Tyler?
Very.
Extremely hot, man. And I get to kiss them. How cool is that?
You just hope that you can keep dating the daughter of the guy that wants to kill you?
Exactly, yeah.
What's the mythology, and forgive me for having not seen Teen Wolf since the beginning, but what's the mythology of how you control or don't turning into a wolf? Are you able to control it at all, or is it one of those deals where, you know, you get mad and all of a sudden you pop and you can't do anything about it?
He pops.
So he pops. Is there a ding for that one? thank you. The first season, he had a lot, a really hard time dealing with the transformation and how to control it. The second season is kind of about how he's embracing his powers and learning how to control it. And I guess the mythology behind it is you have an anchor or a rock that you kind of hold on to. For one of the werewolves, it's anger. For me, it's Allison, the hot girl on the show.
Sure.
There you go. And and I think there's another myth behind it where if you kill the wolf who turns you into a wolf, it'll cure you. But that's still up in the air. If you kill the alpha, thank you.
Then it'll kill you?
Look at you, man.
No, then it'll cure you.
Cure you, right.
Cure you, not kill you. Cure.
Cure you, right.
Yeah.
Look how shocked everybody was that Kevin came up with a thought.
That was great. I respect that a lot.
Thank you, sir.
I'm very proud of you.
Here's the next thing I want to talk about.
I'm not going to bring up that you still live with your parents.
please don't.
Let me tell you something else about Tyler Posey. Look at him, first of all. Lisa, ridiculously good looking, first of all. Right?
He's totally dreamy.
He's starring on his own show on MTV. Like, that's not enough, guys. He's also in a band. He has a band called Lost in Costco, and this is like a real thing that you're serious about, right?
Oh my god,
I love the name
Lost in Costco. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It's probably one of my biggest passions. That and acting are my huge passions. I've put everything I have into this band, and it's like it's exceeding all my expectations, man. I love it.
Is it tough to find time to play music with the guys because your schedule's so busy?
When I'm filming, yes. So I was filming in Atlanta the first two seasons, so it was pretty much impossible to get together with them and you know, go further with our band. But now, since we're filming the third season in L.A., I'll have way more opportunities and way more freedom to get with the band and, you know, play some shows.
Yeah, it's going to be great because you're going to be showing up. You'll go straight from a gig to filming.
Exactly, man. With no sleep. It's the rockstar style.
Lost in Costco is opening for the Ataris, which is a band I love, by the way, at the Roxy on September the 9th. That's a great gig for
this
you guys,
is,
right?
This is definitely the biggest thing I have ever. I got the chills as you said that. The Ataris are one of my favorite bands. Like, I grew up listening to them. Blink-182, you know, that's the kind of style I grew up with.
I have a clip of Lost in Costco if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, just a little bit. I'm sorry, that's goat whore.
That's my butt on lead vocals.
Sometimes I want to go back to the way it was. Then again, back then, I was just a no one. Don't wanna be just anyone. Gotta be somebody.
You can tell that you love Blink.
Yeah, man.
That's very Blink and Smile.
Big time, big time Blink fan. Thank you. That was really cool.
I just
crap my pants a little bit.
That's exciting.
We don't want to know that.
And they, you had a taste of one of your songs on the Teen Wolf show in season one, right?
That's right. Yeah. My character woke up to an alarm clock, and the song that woke him up was my song.
So. Were you bugging him for a long time?
For a while, yeah.
Come on, use my song.
And then, like, over the alarm clock, there was someone talking and, like, a So, like, you could barely hear the song, so I kind of gave up on asking them.
They said, yeah, we'll put it in.
Yeah.
Just no one will be able to understand it.
Well, that is, that's very exciting. You got a lot going on there, Tyler. That's awesome. All right, season 2 finale at 10 o'clock on MTV, and then you said sometime probably next spring or so season 3 comes back.
Yes, right. Hopefully.
I think tonight on MTV you're doing, like, a mini, like, 8 o'clock is one episode, 9 o'clock is the last episode,
like
and then 10 10 o'clock is the current new episode.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? So it's a whole night of.
And then
on...
I'm pretty sure at 11 o'clock it shows the final episode again. So it's just Teen
and
Wolf.
And then 12 o'clock it'll show it again, and then 1 o'clock again, and then 2 o'clock again.
It's MTV.
MTV tonight. You own the network tonight.
Pretty much, man.
That's pretty fantastic. Tyler okay Posey, thank you very much for coming
thank
in.
You.
We appreciate
you
it. Thank you, man.
Coming up next half hour, by the way, we're going to introduce you to Honey Boo Boo Child. If you haven't already seen her on the Toddlers in Tiaras show, she now has a spinoff. Honey Boo Boo and her family have a spinoff show on TLC. You really aren't going to believe that it's on television. I can't tell you how much you need to stick around and hear highlights of this show coming up. First, though, Monday means we talk to our friends at TMZ.com in the newsroom. Dax Holt. Hey, Dax. How are you, man?
Good. Good morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How's everything going with the baby? How's that all happening?
It's been awesome. I'm a little tired, I'm not going to lie. And you know what? Most of the tiredness, I think, comes from not so much the baby waking up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like worrying that the baby is going to have a problem while sleeping, like vomiting and while sleeping.
Yes.
And so it's like I'm paranoid the whole time.
Yeah, you don't want to take your eyes off the kid because you don't want to miss anything.
It's
exactly.
Crazy. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you showing up for work. As always, TMZ.com broke lots of great stories over the weekend. Where do you want to start? Why don't we start with Chad Ochocinco? Because nothing is more hilarious to us than a guy who gets another chance. He has redemption in front of him and does everything he can to torpedo his own career. What's going on with Ocho?
God, he's an idiot. Okay, so here's the deal. So basically, he got arrested this weekend for domestic violence. Him and Evelyn Lozada got in a big old argument. Apparently, according to the police report, she found a receipt in his car for condoms. So, obviously, that's going to start off an argument if your wife's finding condoms.
Well, your wife's uptight.
It's not ideal.
You're not using them with her.
Right.
So, it turns into this epic argument. And apparently she claims that he headbutted her during this argument and that she had to flee the house. She ran to a neighbor's house, called 911. Cops showed up, found a big old laceration across her forehead, and then went and arrested him.
Folks who don't know the name, though, Chad Johnson is a professional football player. This season he's with the Miami Dolphins. And they don't wait around that long to see what the judge and jury decide on this. They immediately cut him just on the suspicion of domestic violence, right?
Yeah. No, they were just like, all right, you're done. Get out of here. Sorry, we don't want to deal with you.
Well, it's that. It was also the press conference and his language. I mean, it just seems like that guy is nothing but trouble.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, he had a chance. Like, he didn't have a job for a long time. Then the Dolphins are like, okay, we'll take you. And now he's out of a job.
And it was the Dolphins. I could play for the Dolphins. You know? I mean, come
it's
on.
Not like it was a real team,
right?
What a mess. What do these athletes do? And we have so many stories like this on TMZ over the years, Dex, but what do they do if they haven't saved their money when their career ends, and it always does, and he's 34 years old, and he's lucky he lasted this long? What's a guy like this going to do now? He's already been on Dancing with the Stars. He can't do that. What's he going to do?
You can start doing commercials, money loan commercials.
Sure.
I mean, you got to find some other way to pay the bills. And, I mean, him and Evelyn just got married like a month ago, and they're already having issues.
He's going to end up like Pete Rose working in a mall in Las Vegas signing autographs every day.
I saw him that one day. I was like walking through Caesar's Palace. I look over and he's sitting there at a table by himself. No one even standing there. Felt kind of bad for him.
That's kind of sad.
All right, let's talk about someone who is making money. And this was a little bit of a surprise story on TMZ.com. Lindsay Lohan is back, at least financially, right?
Making crazy money. If you, like, this time last year, we were doing all these stories about how she was broke. She wasn't not being able to pay the bills. And she was really struggling because of all the court hearings and all that kind of stuff. And she is set to make $2 million this year between doing Playboy, where she got about $1 million. Then she just filmed that Liz and Dick movie, where she made about $300,000. There's another movie coming out called The Canyons. She didn't make a lot of – it was like $6,000 because that's the scale. And then she's about to sign a deal for a scary movie where she's going to make $200,000. Then you got to keep in mind she does tweets, and she can make up to $10,000 on a tweet.
On one tweet?
Really?
On one tweet. You do these, like, advertisement tweets, and you can get paid $10,000 because you got a lot of followers.
I stop following anybody that does that. I do. It drives me crazy. It's just annoying, yeah.
But everything we know about Lindsay is that she'll handle that money responsibly, right? She won't spend it all on lots of parties and expensive jewelry, right?
We'll see. Probably not jewelry, though.
All right, we have time for one more story, and that is Jonah Hill.
Greatest story of the weekend.
Oh, please recap.
So he's sitting in a park in New York. Apparently this woman has gives birth on a park bench next to him, okay?
What are the chances of that in a million years?
I don't know. So this woman gives birth. The cameras start rolling right at the end, right as they're, like, putting her into the ambulance. But Jonah doesn't see us. He walks up and starts taking pictures with his cell phone of the placenta on the ground. Turns around, sees our cameras, and he is like just horrified that we were there, humiliated, and then he goes onto his sort of page. He's like, craziest thing I've ever seen. A woman just gave birth next to me. I took a picture of the placenta and TMZ caught me.
Isn't that a story that you could tell without the graphic image of the placenta on the New York sidewalk?
No, big old bloody jellyfish on the ground.
But how shocking must it have been? I mean, what a weird thing to come across at any point in your life unless you're in a hospital.
How did this lady not make it to the hospital?
I don't know.
Do we know anything about this woman? What were the circumstances? Was she homeless or something?
I have no idea. Yeah, literally, our video is just at the tail end of it.
Maybe it was Jonah Hill's baby. Has anyone thought about that?
This is an impossible question for you to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. How many cameras do you have out there? It seems like you don't miss anything in any city anywhere in the world. You guys are everywhere. It's insane.
You know, we don't have that many cameras out in New York. We a handful, maybe two or three at any given time. But the thing is, there's a lot of paparazzi agencies that we will, buy videos that kind of stuff.
But, I mean, this wasn't like you guys were following Jonah Hill around. It was just a coincidence that he happened
to be in the same place, same time as him when it all went down.
That's amazing. TMZ.com, that's your entertainment website of record. Of course, check your local listings for TMZ television. And this TMZ live thing, you also stream online through the website, and you're inviting listeners to Skype in and ask questions and talk to you and talk to Harvey. It's a very cool show. I watch it from time to time. Dax, you're the best, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks,
guys. Perfectly fine to me, Ralph.
Thank you.
You should drum along with that song all the time.
I should.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
And now, a moment with Lisa May. Give me the age you were at each of your weddings.
First one was 21, Vegas drive-thru, $40.
Sweet.
Next one, 24.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 27, and my birthday, 30.
So 2 to 3 years apiece.
And how long did each of them last?
That was a moment with Lisa May.
You know I don't listen to you.
I don't blame you, Lise. No one could.
Rarely does anything good come out of that mouth.
How? Nope. Dare you all.
No, you're getting a lot of support for that. All right, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I give you the beat, let me give you some passes. K-Rock advanced screening of a movie called Premium Rush. I know we have a lot of Joseph Gordon-Levitt fans in the audience, and you're going to love this film. He stars as a bike messenger who picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a dirty cop and the mob, and they pursue him throughout the city of New York. Looks like a very entertaining film. If you'd like to see it before anybody else.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff.
Oh, Dave.
Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Well, you don't come down here. You just call 1-800-520-1067. The first two callers who get through with that number will get a pair of passes to attend the advanced screening on the Sony lot. We're going to take you right to the movie studio itself on Thursday, August the 23rd.
Yeah, but where can I get them? Is there...
Seems like there should have been more there.
Sure seems like he's going to keep talking.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something? Or can I just go down there? Because
Come down tonight. Midnight.
He keeps stopping talking.
That's just
Thursday, August the 23rd is the screening, and then the movies in theaters every Friday the 24th.
Yeah, and do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available? Do you know?
I'm sure there are rooms at the Marriott available. That much I know for sure. That's their business. They're a hotel, so they tend to have rooms available. Did Mila Kunis break the girl code when she hooked up with Ashton Kutcher? That's the question being asked now, because it turns out, with a little research, that Mila was actually very good friends with Demi Moore. And Ashton, I mean, she met Demi through Ashton, because they worked together for many years on That 70s Show. But they were very close, and initially Mila thought she would just be a shoulder to cry on for Ashton when he was having trouble with his relationship with his now estranged wife. But that chemistry kicked in, and now they're a couple. So, did she break the girl code? Are you allowed to date the exes of your friends?
Depends on who good a friend it is. I mean, they could have been good friends but drifted apart, and then yes.
So you just make up the rules for whatever you feel like doing.
I just told you the rule. What is your problem?
Whatever. Throw girls under the bus.
That was the rule.
Bean. You just got served.
I did.
We should have that as a phone. You dated your friend's ex, and how did that work out? I'm guessing there's some spectacular horror stories involving that kind diabolical relationship.
Would you stop being friends with somebody, Lisa, if you broke up with your boyfriend and she started dating him? Would that be a deal breaker for your friendship?
How about
Depends.
The Gucci being on the other shoe?
If I broke up with him because I really, because when I'm done, I'm really done. Have at it. God bless you.
Best of luck.
Yeah.
Well, the age of the guys you date, when you're done with them, they're usually done, period.
So, glad you don't want to have a sex
you're usually
life.
The last.
Go for it.
You're usually the last one they get, so it doesn't really matter so much. Before I get to any further stories, it is Monday, so I want to give you the top 10 box office results. Born Legacy was number one with $40.3 million. Then The Campaign, Dark Knight Rises, Hope Springs, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days. That's your top five. Total Recall, Ice Age 4, Ted, Step Up, Revolution, and then The Watch and Amazing Spider-Man were tied for 10th place this weekend at the box office. And Stacey Keebler's got a new gig. She is now the host of Supermarket Superstars.
Huh?
Wow.
Supermarket Superstars.
Ooh, he just zoomed her to the top.
What is Supermarket Superstars?
Only the greatest television reality competition show ever.
No, we've talked about that before, Kevin. You know the Supermarket Superstars.
I don't remember.
Crazy game show?
Love that show, don't
I
don't remember.
The crazy game show in the supermarket.
Oh, no, you're thinking Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah.
Oh, this is different?
Come on, Bean, get
with it.
Two,
I apologize. I didn't know there were two supermarket shows.
Craziness. You're talking about Supermarket Sweep, but everyone knows we're talking about Supermarket Superstars.
You're slapping me down with the wrong show.
That's right.
What is that? What is Supermarket Superstars?
Same thing. Same thing. No, this is basically Shark Tank with food. Did you ever watch that Shark Tank show?
Where they pitch ideas.
They pitch ideas to investors to try to get them.
I like that show.
Try to get them to get on board with their ideas. This is just food product inventors.
Well, that sounds terrible.
No, it's awesome. You come in with that. Oh, I got a new popsicle.
I'm not going to watch that.
You got a new popsicle.
Made out of human essence.
Oh. Why does Stacey Keebler, why is she doing a low-rent reality show?
Because.
She's better than that. Isn't she?
She is excited about new food product inventions.
I don't think so.
And she wants to help people pitch them to industry experts who vie for their investment money and compete to have their brainchild introduced to store shelves all over America.
You're not reading
that. That's
why.
That was right off the top of my head. I just can't wait to see her on television again. That's all I care about. You know, she was spectacular in Dancing with the Stars. And now Ryan Lochte, Olympian superstar, says he wants to be on Dancing with the Stars or The Bachelor or both. He said he'll do either or both.
Hey, he's so popular, either of those shows would love to have him.
A lot of the Olympians now are going on to reality shows. Sonya Richards-Ross, who won a gold in the women's 400-meter and 400-meter relay, she's got a reality pilot with her and her husband, Aaron Ross, who was with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gabby Douglas is getting her own show on the OWN network, Oprah Winfrey Network, doing a special on Gabby Douglas. So a lot of Olympians are moving on to reality.
Missy Franklin said she'd love to do Dancing with the Stars. She's already put it out there. Said, hey, call me.
There you go. See Spice Girls last night, the closing ceremonies? Oh, they look so good.
Were they before or after Muse, Ralph?
They did a great job. They were before Muse. Muse came on after Kimmel, I think. After Jimmy Fallon, they put it like, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning when they finally aired Muse.
If you want to see that, go to krock.com. You can see the full Muse performance.
It's really impressive, by the way.
There's some Russian voiceover work going on, but that's how we brought it to you. But, yeah, it's an impressive performance, and there's fire, and there's a choir, and why would they cut that from the U.S. feed?
I have no idea.
It's absurd.
NBC had 9 hours or something to edit this performance down, yet they couldn't find room for Muse? They couldn't find room for...
Because Russell Brand had to sing!
Spice Girls were driving around tops of cabs, though. They were driving around singing while they were on tops of cabs. Awesome.
Ghost riding the whip?
They were ghost riding the whip.
It's getting more like communism, saying we're going to do this and do that.
While they sang Wannabe.
I'm going to say something else about your little Spice Girls, Ralph.
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
You'd be hard-pressed to find 5 women who look as good 15 years after they were famous
as
these 5.
It's crazy. They looked terrific last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sounded good, too.
None of them have lost a step.
It's funny. Mel B, scary. She... tweeted a self-portrait. She had after the performance, all the girls were backstage. You could tell they were just like thrilled. And so she Instagrammed a shot she took herself with her phone of all 5 of them sort of huddled together.
Right.
And they are so thrilled with their performance, and I kid you not, Victoria Beckham almost smiles in the picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She's a, you can just see one corner of her mouth sort of curling up on the side. It's pretty remarkable. So you can check that out. Today's celebrity birthday is Danny Bonaducci. He's 53 years old today. John Slattery of Mad Men fame is 50, and Debbie Mazar celebrates her 48th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Did I mention that they have to subtitle every member of that family so that you can understand what they're saying on the Honey Boo Boo Child show?
Yeah, and they should, too. Because
you're just jealous because you're not Butimus.
That's true.
I'm not Butimus.
You aren't Butimus. Right. That's true.
Brittany writes in, everyone on the Honey Boo Boo show sounds like the real-life version of Boomhauer from King of the Hill. Actually, that's pretty close. Ralph is here. Time for our last look at the showbiz beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. What you got for us?
There was never just one. That's what they wanted to tell us.
The Bourne.
The Bourne legacy.
Legacy. I couldn't remember that word. Thank you, Ralph.
$40.3 million this weekend. A lot of people went to see it. The Campaign was number two at the box office. As we look at the top ten, The Dark Knight Rises was third. Hope Springs, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Dog Days came in at number five. Total Recall, Ice Age 4, Ted, Step Up Revolution, and then a tie at 10th place between The Watch and The Amazing Spider-Man. That's your box office for the weekend. It looks like we're about to enter a new world where Cleopatra is queen.
Huh?
Cleopatra's coming back. A lot of Cleopatra projects been announced this year.
Why?
I have no idea, but these things do tend to run in trends.
That's a terrible idea.
Like, Walt Disney made a Snow White movie 60 years ago.
Right.
And that's all we saw of Snow White. That was fine. Then this year, boom, all these competing Snow White projects. There's three Abraham Lincoln movies in the works.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
Now we've got battling Cleopatras. See, NBC has announced...
I would watch Battling Cleopatra.
I would, too. Sadly, that's not what we're going to watch.
Oh.
NBC is picking up a TV series based on Cleopatra.
All right.
Set against a world of sorcery, gods, and monsters. There were no monsters in the Cleopatra story, NBC. It'll be about the love triangle between Cleopatra, Mark Anthony, and Julius Caesar. Meanwhile, Angelina Jolie is set to star in a new movie about Cleopatra as well.
All right.
So we're getting a lot of Cleopatra in the next couple years. So everyone gear up. Get ready.
How do you do that? How do you get ready for Cleopatra?
You get an asp.
Okay.
You get some gold bracelets. All build right. yourself a pyramid. I'm saying just get in the mood.
All right.
Come on. Walk like an Egyptian. That's what I'm saying. David Duchovny says he's up for another X-Files movie. Me too. And he wonders why the studios aren't interested in it.
Yeah, it does seem like all they're looking for are something that has name recognition.
Yeah. Right. It says they're making all these comic book movies. So they already own the franchise of X-Files. So all they need to right. do is make the movie. They don't have to give anybody any money for the rights or anything else. Just make another X-Files movie. He says
How many
this
have they
one,
made? One or two, right?
Just the one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was a big hit.
Yeah. And he said they would like this one to be an action-adventure film. He said, the last one we made was not. The last one we made was a dark, contemplative, small $25 million film. It was basically an independent film. But he would like the next one to be an action film, an action franchise where he and Scully are running around fighting aliens and whatnot.
It's a great idea.
It is a great idea. I bet he wants to do it now that he's sleeping with her!
You don't Allegedly. Know that.
Oh, come on. It's got to be so. I want it to be so much. I want it to be a real life couple.
I wanted that to be true a long time ago.
Fan fiction ever.
And while we're talking about movie news, I mentioned that Chris Pine was going to take over the role of Jack Ryan in the reboot of the Jack Ryan Tom Clancy novels like Patriot Games and Hunt for Red October. Looks like Keira Knightley will be starring opposite him. She'll play Jack Ryan's wife in the film.
She's strangely attractive.
She is smoking hot, in my opinion.
But strangely.
Not strange at all to me. I think she's just beautiful.
I think she's beautiful, too, but not in a typical way.
No, she's atypical, which makes her even more beautiful. If everybody was beautiful, man, how would beautiful people stand out?
Hey, we're here. Don't worry about it.
It's like working out in this studio.
Yeah,
you look around.
Exactly.
It's just so many beautiful people. It's, we forget sometimes what the average people look like. We're too spoiled by being here. I look over at Beer Bug and I say, wow, that is just a good-looking fellow.
Hey, thanks, Rob. He must be a model.
Wow, this beard must be where the fleas have come from. That's what I say.
Hey.
I am... Ever since I read the memo, by the way, from engineering, I have been scratching. I haven't even been in the damn building, but the reading about fleas, all of a sudden it makes you itch.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we got a memo here at the K-Rock Studios. They say we have a flea infestation here at the studio.
Lisa!
Boner does not have fleas.
Boner's the size of a flea. If he had a flea, we'd know it. Because it would look like a jockey riding a horse if he had a flea.
They would carry him away.
It would eat him.
Yeah. But that's the glamorous, high-priced world of radio, people. Just want you to know, we're working in a flea-infested studio.
We had the glamour
of K-Rock.
Was it Tom Lennon? Bean that we had in, and the first thing he said was, "This is the dirtiest building I've ever been to.
It's a dump." But let me ask you this. I understand why Lisa is quick to deflect because she doesn't want to take the blame for obviously what happened, which is her dog brought fleas in. But if it wasn't Boner, what do you think it was, Lisa? Like, where do they come from if it wasn't from somebody bringing
a
dog?
Pets in here.
I mean, if you have pets and they have fleas, you could easily transport them.
How about cat
and
her filthy bulldog? Bulldogs are filthy beasts. Maybe it's her.
Jay Moore brought his dog in.
Jay Moore brings his dog in.
Had a lot of dogs. What's happening?
What about the weekenders? Who knows what they're up to? They work once a week. They live in a dumpster behind the building. Most of these people who cover these shifts and stuff. I don't trust any of these DJs.
I'm not sure they live in the dumpster.
They are smelly, swarthy people. Most of these fill-in DJs. I think.
What about Beer Mug's beard? You ever think about that?
For sure. That was the first thing. That was the first joke I made, if I remember correctly.
That is where we started. Thanks for bringing that full circle.
Just saying.
This short-term memory. How'd this food get in my mouth? Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey, do you know anything, Ralph? I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. But do you know anything about them making some Cleopatra movies? Have you heard? Is that
Danny Bonaducci is 53 years old today. John Slattery of Mad Men turns 50. And Debbie Mazar is 48. I'm Ralph Garman, and I got fleas.
From Lisa. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Ralph did not like the Batman, Dark Knight Rises.
I liked it fine. It was a very entertaining film, but it has nothing to do with Batman. I don't know who that character was, that guy running around, but it was not Batman. I'll tell you that much.
It was the same guy as Batman 2 and 1.
Oh, I would beg to differ.
All right, we'll find out tomorrow. How about Ronnie Lott, former football legend?
How about Ronnie Lott, by the way?
Football.
USC legend, went on to the Niners. Great, great player.
How many Super Bowls did he win?
He was there during the heyday.
27.
So I would have to say.
27. It's crazy.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. Plus, comedian Ray Romano will be on the program tomorrow. And we're going to beat up Lisa.
Come in, you fleas. I'm afraid of things that jump and bite.
He won't get within 30 miles of this building.
Deborah's fleas.